This week's mailbag comes to us from Sandy from Facebook. I wanted to share a little tidbit with you this morning. The 100 days and all the things I have learned from Lisa not only help me remove clutter from my life, but they prevent me from bringing it back into my life. I make better purchases, more mindful of what I bring into my home, but also into my life and my commitments. It's not a 10 for 10 every time, but when I stop and think about it, my shopping cart and my calendar become lighter. This post is sponsored by my shopping trip to TJ Maxx's last night, where I put aside a coveted black Ray Dunn mixing bowl set because I don't need it and I definitely do not have the space for it right now. So I give myself a gold star because that was so hard to do, but I feel better already.
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
Cass, I am so excited to have you on the Organize 365 podcast. Truth be told, we were supposed to record this interview like 2 years ago, and somehow it just didn't get done, but I think it was actually provincial. I think we were supposed to have this recording of us getting together on the podcast now. So I want to introduce you to my audience. Cass is the founder of Clutterbug, and we're going to be talking all about the different kinds of bugs. You're going to want to take her quiz and find out what kind of bug you are. So you will go to clutterbug.me. Cass is in Canada, joining us from Canada. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I'm actually a really huge fan. So I'm like fangirling a little bit over here.
We've been following each other for years, but we've never like talked in person, which is just so crazy. You guys, we think that people don't know each other because we're on the internet, but we do. Like, we do follow each other. It's so fun.
Yeah, I've been following you for a really long time. I love your Sunday basket. I adore you.
Oh, thank you. Well, we are going to get into the bugs and the Sunday basket. But first, I want to talk about how did you start Clutterbug? Like, how did you even get into organizing it? Like, you can go ahead and tell us the whole story. We want to know, like, how did you get started? And then separately, we want you to tell us about the bug. So just like, how did you even figure out that you were going to start an organizational company? What do you focus on most? That kind of thing.
Honestly, I am probably the most disorganized person naturally ever known to man. And so I never thought that this was going to be a career. I was sitting on the couch running a home daycare covered in babies and toys and mess and clutter and paper. And I was watching a show on TV called Clean Sweep with Peter Walsh.
Oh, my favorite.
Oh my gosh. His words were like this catalyst of change for me. So I bought every book that he had and I watched all of his shows, and he taught me, he's never met me, I've never met this wonderful man, but he taught me the importance of decluttering and getting organized. And I was passionate to try, but I tried and failed and tried and failed everything that I saw in magazines or I tried to replicate, because first of all, I'm a little ADHD. And so I'm not a detail person. An organization traditionally is really compartmentalized, lots of details, lots of categories like filing cabinets. And I was like that, I just couldn't maintain it. I could set it up, but I couldn't follow through. And one day I was at the dollar store and I found a bunch of dish pans that were a dollar. This is before they had great, this is like so long ago, before they had good bins. And so I bought some dish pans and I was tossing my bathroom products just into them in big macro categories. And it was this light bulb moment that I didn't need to be a really detailed person to be organized. And so I replicated it throughout my whole entire home and everything was staying organized. I could find everything. People were putting things back, even my kids. I thought I was a genius. So I started helping friends and family and eventually clients. So it really grew organically, I guess, just from a passion for organization. Yes.
How long ago was that? When did you start that?
I would say 10 years ago now.
Wow. Okay. So 2009-ish?
You're really good at math. Yes.
I am really good at math. So tell everybody how old your kids are.
So my oldest daughter is 13, and I started this when she was about 3. So okay. Yeah, 10 years ago. And then I have another daughter who's 11, and my son is 7. And we're in the throes of traveling everywhere, you know, the throes of tweens and kids' activities.
Yes. You're actually in a great stage. You're in the late grade school, middle school stage. It's actually a really good stage. Once they hit high school, they're no longer yours anymore. But what's interesting is you started this. So you got really, really overwhelmed when you had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And then a few years later, you added the next one. And I want to say that only because if you are in the accumulating phase of life, which is your 20s and 30s, where you're adding in these kids and houses and spouses and jobs and all these things because you've left your childhood bedroom, it is overwhelming. And we try to make order out of the chaos of accumulation. Accumulation is overwhelming for every single person who goes through it. And you are so right. Like, so many of the tried and true books on organization are written by type A people like me who like to have lots of different categories. But even for me, the categories, it took so much time to maintain the system that I got frustrated that it wasn't productive enough. So even though I'm type A, I'm not detail oriented and I don't like my time being wasted maintaining systems. So I love how you're saying you made broader categories and that was your first step. So you did that, you're doing professional organizing, staying home with the babies.
Yes.
When he's in this stage, I tell them to take extra naps. I hope you took extra naps.
I was running a daycare. I actually had 9 children.
So did you have nap time?
I did take a nap. I didn't because my life was chaos, but I was doing this like on the weekends. I was helping clients on the weekends or at night after all the kids went home. And I call it macro organizing. So micro organizing is lots of details and macro organizing is those bigger categories. Mm-hmm. So I was helping people macro organize, or if my client was a type A, I would set up a traditional detailed micro system. And this was awesome for a while until I had one client and her papers were everywhere. I mean, nightmare. She was a lawyer. She had a practice out of her home and there was paper on every surface, every floor, every table. It was a freaking nightmare. So I set her up a macro paper system with lots of baskets, right? And she was horrified because it wasn't detailed. She's like, it's less organized. You're supposed to be a professional organizer. So I set her up a really detailed system. And then, you know, a week later, I always call back because I'm insecure about my, is everything okay? You know, and she's like, no, it's a mess again. And she had pulled everything out and spread it everywhere. And that's when it dawned on me, she's not messy. I used to call myself messy all the time. She's a visual organizer. Mm-hmm. So she wants traditional micro organization, but not in filing cabinets because it's out of sight, out of mind. She has to see it. So we set her up a visual system on her walls. It was horrifying to me. Like, let's be honest. I like everything hidden away. So it was not how my brain works, but she was so excited. And that's really where the birth of the 4 organizing styles came from. So I could go to a client and realize what system right off the bat was going to complement the way their brain naturally works so that they could have success.
Okay, I love this. So when I was doing in-home professional organizing, what I noticed was that there were different phases of life and that the mother and daughter were not getting along because they were organizing different because of the kind of generation they were and just all kinds of things. So that's where my whole thing about the phases, and I learned that in-home organizing. You had the same in-home organizing experience, only you saw it from not generational perspectives, but how they actually utilize their space. So let's go ahead. That's when you first discovered the bugs. Just for the other business owners out there or professional organizers who are like, yeah, I have noticed this, that, or the other thing. How long did it take you before you had like that kind of aha moment until you had it in the quiz that people can take now that you were able to distill it down, articulate it? It was something that you could fluidly talk about.
It was years. I'm going to be honest. It took years. I knew in my mind meeting someone, sort of their natural tendencies, but it took years to really break it down into a way that was simple to understand. And it really came down to visual simplicity versus visual abundance and micro versus macro, which seems so simple, doesn't it? But it took me years to get there. It really did, to really understand that there were even 4 styles.
Yeah, I am so like obsessed with personality tests. My team will tell you, like, when you come into Organize 365, we have you take, I think it's now 10 assessments, maybe more. Like, we devote two whole days to you taking assessments. And then we have them in these onboard systems where everybody could see everybody else's assessment. So if there's ever a conflict between two people on our team, which is rare, or I'm having a hard time communicating with someone on our team, like, especially if they're new and I'm trying to get them to learn a skill, as a teacher, I will go in and I will look at all of their learning styles and personality styles and everything and mine, and I will match them up and I will figure out where the disconnect is, and then I will change so that I can teach them whatever it is that I need to teach them. They're not going to change. That's their personality. I'm the teacher. I have to change. So whenever there's a new assessment, get ready, Organize 365 team. I want to know what kind of bug you are.
oh, no.
I'll go take the test. So first of all, you guys are all going to want to take it. It's at clutterbug.me. So that, and then listen again to this and learn about your kind of bug. But we're going to have Cass go through each individual bug and tell us all about, like, we want to know all the things about the bug. You may be able to figure out what kind of bug you are just by her explaining it. And then we're going to go back through the bugs and talk about why the Sunday basket works in every kind of bug.
I love it. I love it so much. Okay. So let's start with the traditional organizer. This is like what you think of when you think of organization. And I have a feeling you might be this person. So a cricket, I call them a cricket. And I can tell you why, like, I chose the bugs after, but a cricket is...
No, tell us now. We want to hear all the things. Hashtag all the things. It could be a long podcast.
Okay. A cricket is an A-type personality. They're a detailed thinker. They naturally love to plan and break things down, but they like their things out of sight. They're every day items out of sight. So in filing cabinets, behind closed doors in the kitchen, they like their closet doors shut. They like visual simplicity. It doesn't mean they're minimalists, but they don't want to see a lot of visual distractions, and they love details. I chose the cricket as the bug because in grade six, I did a project on crickets, and they actually are perfectionists. When they rub their legs together to make that sound, it's perfect mathematical. You know, it's perfect, and it only fluctuates based on temperature. So when I had to think of a bug that was sort of...
Oh my gosh, okay, wait. The song that the cricket sings fluctuates based on temperature?
Yes.
Oh, I love it. It's so cool.
It's up when it's warmer, and it slows down when it's cooler outside. Oh, funny. And crickets are generally hidden bugs, right? So they're out of sight, but they're mathematical perfection. So when I think of detailed, I think of a cricket, which is why I chose that name. So if you're a person who really craves details and you're a perfectionist, a little bit of a perfectionist, and you like things out of sight, you're a cricket. Now the challenge comes with that perfectionism. They tend to pile for later until they can put it away perfectly. So that's their biggest struggle, is they have lots of little neat, tidy piles everywhere waiting until they can do it perfectly. So even crickets have clutter. And next, there's a ladybug, and that's me. And a ladybug loves things out of sight. They love visual simplicity like a cricket, but they are big picture thinkers. They are not detailed thinkers in any way. Think like a little ADHD, a little flighty. Yeah. They're just like, they're the people that don't screw the peanut butter back on.
Creative
sure.
People.
Sure. I mean, there are creative crickets for sure, but they're macro thinkers. They think in big categories, so they need their home organized in big categories. A detailed person will take time to put things away properly. It's more important to them that they find it quickly. It's more important for a macro organizer to put it away quickly. They don't mind taking a few seconds to sort through a container to find what they need. They need to save the time putting it away. So a ladybug is a macro. They need fast, easy, bigger categories because it's all about ease of putting away, but they still need it hidden out of sight. So baskets, crazy baskets. That's what works for a ladybug. And I chose a ladybug because they look shiny and perfect on the outside. But if you open up their wings, it's like a hot mess under there. You know, their wings are all crooked. You got to Google it. Their wings are like...
I did. Because you said it. I did.
Their wings are all sort of jacked up looking. And that's a ladybug's home. It looks perfect until you open a closet or a drawer. And then it's like, what the heck's going on in there? So that's why I chose the ladybug for that organizing type. And next you have a bee. And a bee is a visual organizer, so it's out of sight, out of mind. They tend to leave things out, tools. They tend to be the people that have their toaster and all the things they use every day on their counter. It's function over pretty very, very often. Of course, they love a beautiful space, but they want to see their items. But they are micro type A people. They love lots of details. And so they have lots of little categories. Once they set it up, they have no problem maintaining it. But like a cricket, a bee tends to pile till they can do it perfectly. And unfortunately, most homes are set up for crickets with closet doors and kitchen cabinets and everything's out of sight. And so crickets tend to look a little messier because they are leaving their things out so they don't forget about them because they're visual. And so they have two struggles. They struggle, you know, wanting everything perfect, and they struggle because they're so visual. And I chose the bee as the bug because they're methodical insects. Let's be honest. They go from flower to flower. They never revisit the same flower twice. They're really methodical in everything that they do, but they're visual. They're attracted to the brightest and most beautiful flowers. So that's why I chose the bee to represent this micro visual organizing type.
Okay.
And last is the butterfly. And I have the most hearts for the butterflies out there because they're the opposite of traditional organization in absolutely every way. They're big picture thinkers. They don't do a lot of details. They don't stop to think before they put things away. They're just dropping things where they go, right? They need macro solutions, but they're also really visual. So they tend to leave everything out of sight, out of mind. I can't tell you how many clients I've been to that were butterflies that had no clothes in their dresser, and all of them piled on top of the dresser. You know? And it's not a case of laziness. It's that if they put those clothes in the dresser, they will forget about them. They're gone forever into the abyss. And so they need fast, easy, simple, visual systems. So it's not out of sight, out of mind. And they can quickly put things away. In a way, it doesn't look like a traditional way. It could be taking your closet doors off. A butterfly is so much more likely to actually put their clothes away when there's no closet doors. And almost all small children are butterflies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was, as you were saying that, I'm like, my daughter is definitely a butterfly. So I want more information on the butterfly. And the audience will know, I often will say, take the doors. Like, my kids do not have doors on their closet doors, but also adults that have children, I'm like, take the doors off your front hall closet and use it as like a drop zone like you would at school. So I'm often saying, take the doors off, remove the stopping point from actually putting things away. Okay, so personally, I would like, and for all the other butterflies listening, give us some home organization ideas for butterflies. Because as you were saying the other ones, I'm like, cricket. Okay, obviously every organizing book on the market pretty much is for a cricket. A ladybug. I mean, I can understand the other ones, but the butterfly mystifies me.
It's really hard. I'm not going to lie. It's the hardest one. They really have to work on decluttering. Hooks over hangers, for sure. Yep. Hooks over hangers. Lots of open shelving. You can see that I have this Calyx shelf behind me, which is my go-to for butterflies because it takes advantage of the
vertical. So that's that IKEA shelving I'm always talking about.
Labels. Oops. Even if you're putting something into a container, if it has a label you can see across the room, it's still visual. And lots of wall hangings for papers on the walls.
Okay, so we have hooks in our bathroom instead of a towel bar. That works wonderfully. I just like literally sledgehammered it off one day because like I lost it. And I put up like 8 different hooks. So just hang up the towel. And we only use towels once and I wash them. I know it's environmentally not friendly. I don't care. All children are butterflies. Yeah. Do as I say.
So in the bathroom, they're probably not putting their toothbrushes away, right? So go to IKEA and get that little bucket system.
Yeah, they have this bucket system. I don't even care.
Just set them in the buckets instead of putting them in the drawers. It's about what is a visual way that we can organize this, that they can put their things away.
So I wonder, so here's an, you know me, I'm always questioning. I'm a questioner. So if almost all children are ladybugs, and I would agree, most children are ladybugs unless they're a cricket. I think a cricket is like from birth. But
yes,
if most children are ladybugs.
Are butterflies, yes.
Butterflies, sorry.
Yes.
Butterflies,
no, I know.
Butterflies.
There's a lot of bugs, yes.
There's a lot of bugs. I wonder, because I believe organization is a learnable skill. I wonder if you can learn to become more bee or ladybug-like from a butterfly. I still think that cricket is probably hardwired in.
I think you can. I think that your influence, your home, your parents has a huge impact on the way that you organize. But I think it's really hard to change from, children will obviously change, but I think if you're a late teen or early adult and you're right. a macro thinker, so you're right. not a detailed person, right. that's something that is just you. Because I've tried for literally 2 decades.
So you're probably going to move to a ladybug then, right? Because that's exactly. the other macro thinker.
That's exactly right. Because it's so hard. It's easy to train yourself to put something away in a closet. It's really hard to train yourself to think in details. If you naturally
think in big pictures. True. Okay, yeah. I love this. So what I find to be good for my daughter, who's clearly a butterfly, we buy the baskets. You put it in a basket for it. It's like black hole. What's the point? So the only thing that works with her is to, it gets to be an abomination, literally clean sweep before. And then we spend the entire weekend cleaning and organizing it. And it looks perfect. And she loves it. She loves it when it's perfect. She will readily get rid of things. She will get rid of so much stuff because she knows that less is easier to maintain. And about every 6 to 8 weeks, we have to repeat this process. Yes. She has to clean her room every Saturday, and she gets further and further behind, but she needs me or somebody else to come help her every 6 to 8 weeks in order to right the ship and clear out as much as possible.
For sure, because it's overwhelming by that point. Yep. Right? And because, it's so hard to find systems that, even to buy systems that work for butterflies, right. because people just don't think of that when they think of organization. So my daughter's a butterfly as well. She's 13. We took off her closet doors and she never hung her clothes still. So we got these hanging things, you know, those hanging things that you, and she doesn't fold. She shoves in. And so every day before she can have a snack or have any electronics, she has to tidy her room. And it consists of her shoving these things. But I don't care because she knows where it is. It's away. And I'm happy because it's not on the floor.
I just get so over it. I'm like, all right, well, it's been 8 weeks. We're now going to wash everything in your room because it's probably all dirty at this point. And then it all gets put away correctly at that point. And then the clean and dirty have different piles on the floor. I don't know. I can't get it. So I'm not a butterfly, but I'm not a cricket. So do you know what I am? I am not a cricket. I am a busy bee. I'm a busy, busy, busy bee. Yes, I'm definitely, definitely a bee. Okay, so let's talk about the Sunday basket. And we'll go through the same order that you had before. Now, like I said, I think for crickets, if you're a cricket listening to the Organize 365 podcaster, you probably are a professional organizer. And I want to address that. So you heard Cass's story about how she started. And she started from getting herself organized, and then she helped other people, and then she realized that people were organizing in different systems, that there were these books. Cass, would you say that you were a perfectly organized person when you started your professional organization business?
No. Oh my gosh, not at all. I'm still not perfectly organized.
Right. Okay. Did everyone hear that? Then go look at how many followers and YouTube videos she has. As she just said, she's not perfectly organized. So if you're waiting to be perfectly organized in order to be a professional organizer, that is not something you should wait for. My house was a hot mess when I started being a professional organizer after I started Organize 365 because I had gone through a life transition. So perfect organizing is not what you need in order to be a professional organizer. However, understanding how other people think and that there are multiple systems at work is definitely something to look at. So for the Sunday basket, for the cricket, you said that they want visual simplicity. They love details. They will pile for later. The Sunday basket does all of those things because you could just pile it in the front. You don't see it. It's perfectly clean looking. And then Sunday, when you go through, there are 25 different kinds of slash pockets you could put them in. You could have as detailed organizing as you want inside of those slash pockets. It looks all great and perfect on Sunday night. And then it piles up in a nice contained organizer all week long. And then you have a time again the next Sunday to do that. Is that right?
Yes, I love it. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Crickets, check. You need a Sunday basket. Then we'll move on to the ladybug because that's the next one you did next. So out of sight is out of mind. They're big picture thinkers. They like to put things away quickly and they like baskets. They want it to look perfect. Like they want it to be behind closed doors. So again, the Sunday basket, you just put your piles in there. So it looks perfect. It's behind closed doors. Then on Sunday, you take everything out. Now they're big picture thinkers. So I don't know if they're going to use all of the slash pockets that are in the Sunday basket, but I would say I probably tend more towards a ladybug than a cricket. So I have those extra slash pockets, the basic 5 I do every week, but the other ones for your house and your personal and your home that hold your projects, I literally don't even touch those, but maybe two or three times a year. But I love that they're there because I can have an idea whenever I want, and it goes inside of that slash pocket. And then when I want it, it's there. So I'm thinking the ladybug is the same way, that they have a place to put their things on Sunday. So it's there if they need it, but they probably don't go through those 2.0 slash pockets very often.
I love that. Yes, I do. I don't do slash buckets, but I think I do slash buckets, but I didn't know that they were called slash buckets. So, I mean, I throw my papers in, it's, you know, business, personal, and other three baskets, and I deal with them.
Yes, three times. So you have a Sunday basket and then you have two boxes. So yes. I have a Sunday basket, a homeschool basket, an entrepreneur box. So you have multiple boxes. Yay, good job. Okay.
Yes.
So ladybugs.
Not a ladybug. So, and they work perfect for
me. So ladybugs need multiple boxes, for sure.
Yes. But macro. So you're just tossing it in when you've dealt with it. So I guess I have a Sunday basket. I have the papers that have to be dealt with. And then once a week I go through them and I sort them into macro systems. And there's no filing. It's literally other baskets that I know where it is. And I toss them in and I deal with it at tax time.
Okay, so I definitely have some ladybug tendencies because I think that's why there is a Sunday basket and multiple workboxes, because in the Sunday basket, we have all the slash pockets, but often, like, I just finished the holiday blitz. At the time you guys are listening to this, it'll be February. You'll be like, what? But in November, I had you take your Sunday basket and open up two more boxes, one for the holidays and one for the new year. And everything that was for 2020, you were to put in the new year box, and everything for the holidays in the holiday box, so that the Sunday basket didn't feel so overwhelming. So that's a very ladybug thing, right?
It is. It's a very macro way of looking at it. Yes. So that's,
or like, now I'll have a box right now because we're doing a graduation party. So I'll have a box, and from now until May, everything related to the graduation party will go in that box.
And honestly, when it comes to paper, I really recommend that bees and crickets macro approach their paper, because paper's overwhelming.
Oh my gosh.
If you are a bee, you can be a bee in every other aspect. But yeah, I totally recommend you being a macro organizer when it comes to paper.
Okay, so let's skip to the bee, which is what I am. So they're very visual, which is why everything has a color. So my sister, apparently colors don't mean something to everyone, because color means everything to me. Everything. Like, you should see my Google Calendar. There are 8 different colors on it. And if you change one of those, I'm going to hyperventilate. Like, whenever I create any spreadsheet or anything, the team is all like, okay, well, Lisa will set the colors and then we will go with whatever colors. Like, colors mean everything to me. She's like, I don't even see them. She can look at a spreadsheet that I've color coded and she doesn't even see the colors. I don't understand that.
I don't see colors either. So I'm with her. Yeah, I don't color code.
Oh my gosh.
I like all monotone colors. I really do. So,
but that's blown my mind.
Yeah, you're visual and I'm not.
Totally. So that's why, like, blue is family and purple is home and pink is you. Like, the colors mean everything. Our book editor for the paper solution was like, okay, we're having trouble with the book because you have some of the same slash pockets in 1.0. You have blue and green there, and then you have blue and green in the 2.0. So we're just going to change those to other colors. I was like, no. They were like, no, like, we can't, we have to. I'm like, no, you can't change the colors. So I can't change the colors. And I'm like, can't change the colors. And I like lost it. Like, no, we cannot change the colors. They're like, so this is like the line in the sand you won't cross. I was like, yeah, this is it. The colors have to.
I love it.
So I think that's the B. Like, they love the fact that it's color coded. Like, if it's blue, it's family. If it's pink, it's this. So I think they love the colors. Function over pretty is totally me. I mean, I am all about function over pretty. It has to work. If you do the workbox and the Sunday basket, the colors mean the same. The colors interplay in between our whole entire system. The colors play through the whole thing. So I love that. They like lots of details. So I do like lots of details when I'm ready for them. But if I had a whole list of details, I shut down after I read like line number 7. Like, even when I'm editing my own stuff, I edit for how the catalog is going to look. And then I have somebody else on the team actually read it. Because when I get to page 2, I'm like, too many words. Why do we have so many words? I don't understand. Like, I can't read all of those detail words. But I want all of that information. So, like, literally for 10 years, I've been saving details about the book tour I am going to have one day. And now that I'm getting ready to plan it, I will pull out all of those details and I will organize them all into the project. So I've been saving them.
Yes. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to macro first and micro later. You can always make it perfect later. So yeah, because you're an organized person, you're totally doing it right. That's exactly what I would recommend for bees. always macro first and go back and make it perfect when you have the time.
Okay, so now we're going to attack the butterfly, not attack her. She's lovely. She's delicate. We have to just gently have her put her on our finger with some sugar water. Okay, so all of our little butterfly finger, we're doing this on video. I'm literally holding up my finger for the butterfly. I've been to the butterfly conservatory. They do land on my finger with the sugar water. So they need big picture. They drop as they go. So the biggest thing, like if I'm thinking about Abby and a butterfly, the biggest thing for the Sunday basket is you're going to drop your stuff everywhere. I always say to my husband, we know exactly what Abby has done while we were sleeping because there's a trail. Like there's no clue so needed. You know exactly what she's done. So I think the biggest thing for the ladybug is training yourself to drop it in the Sunday basket and not just drop it anywhere. So just, I don't even care if you use slash pockets or not. Don't eat the slash pockets to somebody else. But every piece of paper, every idea gets dropped in the Sunday basket. That's the only thing you have to do. And then you go through it on Sunday. So drop it in one place, go through it on Sunday. That's it. No slash pockets, nothing else.
No, exactly. And put that basket where you naturally drop your
papers. In the kitchen.
Where you naturally pile it, right?
Yes.
I love it. Yes.
So that's why I'm always saying it has to be in the kitchen. And then the crickets are going, yes, but I have it in the office. And then there's this big thing like, how dare you say we have to have it in the kitchen? It is an office supply. I'm like, yes, but it's if it's not in the kitchen, you won't use it. That's not true. A cricket will use it anywhere you put it, but a butterfly has to have it in the kitchen.
Exactly. Yeah. And for me, I mean, we drop our papers in the mudroom. So I would put it in the mudroom. That's where I naturally drop the papers. So working with your natural tendencies, especially for a butterfly, if they take off their dirty clothes and throw them in the middle of the floor in their bedroom, that's where the laundry basket should go, in the middle of the floor in their bedroom.
We literally have three different laundry baskets for Abby because of that. And still only 50% makes it in any of the three.
Yeah, butterflies are a challenge.
She walks in. I don't even know how she does it. It's almost like she takes off shoes as she's walking, because shoes and socks, by the end of the day, there are four sets of each on our first floor. I'm like, when did you even put that many shoes on? Like, I don't even understand.
I know. And you as a bee are, I think, in the complete opposite way, right? I mean, you're like, how hard is it to just put it on the shoe rack? But for her, she's not even thinking about that. Honestly, it's not that she's being lazy.
Oh, I know.
Her brain just doesn't think that way. It doesn't mean that she can't be trained, but yeah, it is very insane the difference in how people's brain works when it comes to how they organize their home.
So if you have a ladybug and you're like, how does Lisa deal with this? This is how Lisa deals with this. We have a laundry basket in the bottom of the front hall closet. And every day, she's 18. Every day I walk through, I pick up all the shoes because they bother me. They do not bother her. And I drop them in the laundry basket in the front hall. And then any paper that I'm done looking at goes in this bin in the kitchen. She has a bin. It's always overflowing. And I just shove stuff in there. And so this is our thing. She says, where is my blah, blah, blah? And I said, did you check the basket? Did you check the bin? That's just what we do. Did you check the? And now she goes, did you put it in the bin? I'm like, probably. If it's not where you left it, it's probably on the bin. Also, butterflies. I highly recommend that you get these tiles. Have you heard of the tile, Cass?
No.
Oh, maybe it's just a US thing. So Cass is in Canada, so I shouldn't have a Sunday basket. Okay, so it's a tile and it's got a microchip in it. And so you can put it on things and then you have an app on your phone. And then when you click the app, it'll make the thing buzz. So we put a tile on your keys. She has hot glued a tile onto her phone. She has a tile on everything.
Smart. Yes. I love it. Yes.
Two sets of keys. We never know where either of them are. Ever.
I never knew where anything was ever until I really started macro organizing my home. I would look for the umbrella, have to take everything out of the closet, you know?
Yep.
Where's my other shoe? It would be freed under the bed or who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. So if you're like, okay, I am a butterfly or I am a ladybug, I think you should also head over to Cass's YouTube channel and watch how she does some of this macro organizing. Now, the 100-day home organization program works because I have you do just such a tiny little thing. Like I talked to you about the silverware drawer. You go there. It doesn't matter what kind of bug you are. You're going to be able to do the silverware drawer because I don't teach you how to organize the kitchen. I teach you how to organize the spices, the silverware drawer, the pots. Like I focus you in so closely on one thing that it 100% works. But overall, if you're like, I'm just so overwhelmed and I just want to watch YouTube and I'm looking for somebody else, like, and especially if you're a ladybug or a butterfly, I think you might get a lot out of our YouTube channel.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So anything else you would like to share with Organize 365 about the bugs or what you have going on?
Want people to, if they're listening and they feel messy, like they feel like they are naturally messy and disorganized person, to know that they're not messy. There's no such thing as a naturally messy person. They just organize differently. Mm-hmm. And if you felt that way your whole life, you may have given up on yourself. And I think your daughter might be in this. She's like, why would I bother? I'm just terrible at organization. Just that realization of how your brain works can be that catalyst for change. Mm-hmm. It can be the confidence you need to finally set up systems that work for you.
Yeah. And I would say, especially as it relates to Abby, I've told the story before how it took me 18 months to teach her how to clean and organize her room. She has learned the skill of organization. She does know how to do it. She just gets to the point where she is so overwhelmed. She needs help getting started because it's hard for her to maintain the system. But she knows where everything goes. She knows the order to get organized. She knows the process, how to declutter, how to organize. Start with food, then go to dishes, then go to laundry. And like, she knows the order and she's learned the skill of organizing, but her just natural tendency is so big to fly around and be a butterfly.
It is.
It is really, really hard to maintain it. It's boring. So what she likes to do is play with her animals. You realize she has 2 ferrets, 6 gerbils. And I don't even know what else is down there. So she would much rather... And the ferrets don't help, I will just tell you. We clean the whole entire, she lives in the basement. We clean the whole entire basement and got the ferrets out. Greg and I were watching them. And they destroyed that place in a hot minute. It's like having permanent 2-year-olds. So it's not helping her butterfly nest that she has ferrets, because ferrets are definitely ladybugs. They take everything and they hide it, which is why she doesn't know where her keys are and everything needs a tile, because they take everything and they hide it. So they're like... devious.
I mean, I feel for your Abby, because I was a hot mess, like hoarder level, until I really became a homeowner and a mom and realized like I wanted to take pride in my home. It was not even a thought. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's not important when you're a kid, when you're 18, when you're 20, when you're 25, that stuff isn't important, but you've taught her the skills. So when it mm-hmm. is a priority to her, she'll be yeah. able to rock it.
Yeah, she loves it when it is clean and organized. It is just a constant struggle for her to keep it that way. So she's constantly wrestling with that inside. And she'll figure it out.
Yeah, she will.
She'll figure it out. Well, we have loved, loved, loved having you on the podcast. I'm sure you and I will be doing other things later this year together, and we'll keep everyone informed about that.
Thank you.